rebellious these people are. Now leave me alone, so my fierce anger can blaze against them, and I will destroy them. Then I will make you, Moses, into a great nation. By committing this sin, by worshiping this golden calf, what were the people doing? Essentially, they were nullifying the covenant that God had just made with them. So what did Moses try to do? In two words, damage control. Damage control. Continuing on, verse 11. But Moses tried to pacify the Lord his God. Oh Lord, he said, why are you so angry with your own people? Right? They're still your people, Lord, whom you brought from the land of Egypt with such great power and such a strong hand. Why let the Egyptians say their God rescued them with the evil intention of slaughtering them in the mountains and wiping them from the face of the earth? Turn away from your fierce anger. Change your mind. Change your mind about this terrible disaster you have threatened against your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember them, Lord. You bound yourself with an oath to them, saying, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of heaven. And I will give them all of this land that I have promised to your descendants, and they will possess it forever. Remember what you said, Lord. Change your mind. Did the Lord change his mind? Did the Lord change his mind after this passionate plea that Moses gave? Yes, he did. He did. The Lord hears your prayers. If you're struggling today, if you're down, if you're discouraged, I want you to know that you can pray to the Lord, that he hears your prayers. They will not go unanswered. So, continuing on in verse 14, so the Lord what? So the Lord changed his mind about the terrible disaster he had threatened to bring on his people. He changed his mind. Were there still consequences for their sins, for their actions? Yes. Right? There's always consequences for our actions. Verse 25, Moses saw that Aaron had let the people get completely, completely out of control, much to the amusement of their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and shouted, all of you on the Lord's side, come here and join me. And all the Levites gathered around them. Moses told them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each of you take your sword and go back and forth from one end of the camp to the other. Kill everyone, even your brothers, friends, and neighbors. The Levites obeyed Moses' command, and about 3,000 people died that day. What else happened? Is that the end of it? What else happened? Continuing on, verse 35. Then the Lord sent a great plague upon the people because they had worshipped the calf Aaron had made. And if all this weren't enough, God said he no longer wanted to go with them on this journey to the promised land. That God didn't want to go with them. Continuing on in Exodus 33, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, get going, you and the people you brought up from the land of Egypt. Go up to the land I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them, I will give this land to your descendants, and I will send an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Hezerites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to this land that flows with milk and honey. But I will not travel among you. I'm not going with you. Right? For you are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I did go, I big point of this message here today is simply this. Our sin separates us from the presence of God. Let me say that again. Our sin separates us from the presence of God. And as we saw here in these verses today, we opened up, God takes our sin seriously. We saw in this opening video this young lady who, as she began to think about things, saw some pride in herself, someone who was critical and judgmental, and she began to be broken over her sin. Our sin separates us from the presence of God. God doesn't want to move forward with us until there is reconciliation. God doesn't want to go or move forward with us until there is reconciliation. David knew this, and that's why he said what he said in Psalm 19. What did he say in that psalm? Let's look here briefly. Psalm 19, verse 12 and 13. David said, How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from delivered sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. Here's the thing. When it comes to sin, there are two different types. When it comes to sin, there are two different types. Sins of omission and sins of commission. Sins of omission and sins of commission. Sins of omission are the sins that we've committed and we're not even aware of. Right? We're not even aware of it. Perhaps someone has said to you before, when you said what you said and did what you did, you hurt my feelings. And my response, like your response, would probably be, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I didn't know that hurts your feelings. Right? Sins of omission. Sins of commission are the sins we commit, and we know they're wrong. Right? We know it deep down in our heart. Sometimes we try to push it down, push it out, pretend it's not a big deal. Again, like this girl in this opening video, it's just a little sin. It's not that big of a deal. Basically, I follow all the rules. I'm a good person, and not that big of a deal. I know I shouldn't be having sex with this person before I get married. I know I shouldn't be having sex with this person before I get married. I know we shouldn't be living together. I know I shouldn't have copied this person's homework. I know I shouldn't have cheated. I know I shouldn't have taken that thing. I saw it and I took it and I probably shouldn't have taken it. I know I shouldn't have lied. I know I shouldn't have talked bad about that person. I know I shouldn't have been critical of them. And we justify, we rationalize, we excuse it, all to make ourselves look better or feel better. Well, not really dealing with the root of the problem, which is the sin that is in our heart that we need to confess and turn from and acknowledge. Whether it's sins of omission or sins of commission, what is it we need to do? Continually pray like David prayed. We need to pray like David prayed in Psalm 19. bring those things to light that I may confess them and turn from them. And keep me from deliberate sin. Keep me from the things that I know I shouldn't be doing, Lord. Why? Why should we pray this? Not for salvation's sake, but for the sake of restoration and reconciliation. That's why we pray this, right? So this is something we should be really praying to God every day as we have our quiet time with Him, right? These two phrases. What else do we need to do? What else do we need to do? Stop doing the things that we know we shouldn't be doing. Stop doing those things that we know we shouldn't be doing. Did the Israelites do these things? Did they stop doing what they shouldn't be doing? Let's jump back into Scripture and see. Exodus 33, verse 4. When the people heard these stern words, they went in the morning and stopped. They did. They stopped. They stopped wearing their jewelry and fine clothes. For the Lord had told Moses to tell them, "You are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I were to travel with you for even a moment, I would destroy you. Remove your jewelry and fine clothes while I decide what to do with you." So from the time they left Mount Sinai, the Israelites wore no more jewelry or fine clothes. What did Moses do in response to all this? What did he do as the people responded in this way? We're going to stop. We're going to turn from our sin. We're going to do what's right. Well, here's what Moses did. Verse 7. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people would get up and stand in the entrances of their own tents. They would all watch Moses until he disappeared inside. As he went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and hover at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. How cool is that? This cloud comes down, hovers over the tent, letting all the people know that the Lord is meeting with Moses. When the people saw the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they would stand and bow down in front of their own tent. Now, why did Moses set this tent up outside the camp? Why did he set the tent up outside the camp? To symbolize the removal of God's presence from among the people. God is holy. God is set apart. This, however, created a problem for Moses. Why? Because he wasn't going to move forward unless he knew God was with him, right? I don't want to go anywhere that the Lord's not there. I want God to go with me. And Moses felt the same way. I don't want to be separate from the Lord. I want him with me. Verse 12. One day Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land." Looking forward to starting that new series, Joshua. We see what happens when they enter the promised land. "But you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your way. I want to know you, Lord." That's what Moses said. "I want to know you, Lord, so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people." Let me ask you this question. Do you feel the way Moses felt? Do you feel the way Moses felt here? Do you desire to know his ways and understand him more? Is that your great desire in life right now? To know like what Paul said in Philippians 3:10. Great verses. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Jesus and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to experience that power in my life. I want to what? What's that word? I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I want to experience that, Paul said. What is it you want to experience? What is it that you want to experience? Sad to say, I don't think a lot of Christians want to experience this. Suffering? For Jesus? No. What is it we want to experience today? What is it we want to experience today? Everything this world has to offer. Right? We want to experience everything this world has to offer. What does this world have to offer? Well, John says it so eloquently in 1 John 2:16. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything these eyes see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. Look what I've achieved. Look what I possess. Look what I got. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is what? It's fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Even though these things are fading away, we still seek after them. Even though the things of this world are fading away, we still want them. We still seek after them. We then wonder why we don't see God and He's not with us. We wonder why we don't see God and He's not with us. All I can say is, Lord, give me a heart like the one Paul and Moses had. Why? Because we want you to go with us. We don't want to leave you behind. We want you to lead us and guide us and direct us and to be with us. Well, how did the Lord respond to Moses' request? Moses saying, Lord, if you're not with us, I don't want to move forward. I got to know that you're with me here in this situation. Maybe you're in a bit of a situation today in your life, in your family, with your health, with your job. You need to know that the Lord is with you. Continuing on, verse 14, the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. I'm going to take care of you. Everything will be fine for you. Why? Because he desires to know the Lord and understand him in his way. Then Moses said, if you don't go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me? On me and on your people. If you don't go with us, for your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on earth. It's your presence, Lord. The Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked for. I'm going to do it, the Lord says. For I look favorably on you and I know you by name. I know your name. I know the very hairs on your head, they're all numbered. Moses responded, then show me your glorious presence. I want to see your glorious presence. For those of us who are Christians, that is, we believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day, and it's personal, he's not only with us, but in us. What does this mean? He's guiding us. the Holy Spirit that's in us. Jesus said in John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. You know, we all want to know what the future holds, right? In our life, in our situation right now. What's going to happen to me next, Lord? However, only God knows the future. So we must look to Him. Not to anyone or anything in this world today. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. Do what is right, and He will give you everything you need. You know, this is exactly what Moses was doing. He was seeking the kingdom above all else. I want to know you and your ways. I want to understand you. Paul was doing the same thing. Because he was doing this, that's why the Lord said what He said to him. What did He say to him? Let's continue on. Verse 19. The Lord replied, okay, you want to see my glorious presence? You want to know me? Okay. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live. The Lord continued, look, stand near me on this rock as my glorious presence passes by. I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind. But my face will not be seen. What is it I want you to notice here? We cannot know all there is to know about God. We cannot know all there is to know about God. He's just too big and too exhaustive to take in. One of my professors from seminary, Dr. Howard Hendricks, used to say, does it bother you that a finite man cannot comprehend an infinite God? What can we do? What can you and me do? We can do what He tells us to do and be ready for when He does reveal Himself to us. Exodus 34, verse 1. Then the Lord told Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first one. I will write on them the same words that were on the tablets you smashed. Be ready. Be ready. He says that to Moses, and He says it to you and me. I'm going to show you. I'm going to reveal my will for you in your life. Right? Be ready in the morning to climb up Mount Sinai and present yourself to me on the top of the mountain. No one else may come with you. In fact, no one is to appear anywhere on the mountain. Do not even let the flocks or herds graze near the mountain. So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets. Two tablets of stone like the first one. Early in the morning, he climbed Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hand. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood with him there. And he called out his own name, Yahweh. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I love you. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to take care of you. I lavish unfailing love to a thousand generations. I forgive iniquity, rebellion, and sin. How good is that? The Lord says that. I've seen all you've done, and I'm going to forgive. But I do not excuse the guilty. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children and grandchildren. The entire family is affected. I take sin seriously, even children of the third and fourth generation. What is it that stands out to me here? God was willing to forgive his people for what they had done. God was willing to forgive his people for what they had done. You know, the same is true for you and me. He's willing to forgive us. However, if we refuse to acknowledge that what we've done is wrong, he won't forgive. Why? Because he cannot excuse the guilty. You know what our problem is today? I'm going to tell you. Nobody ever believes that what they're doing is wrong. Nobody ever believes that what they're doing is wrong. That what they're doing is wrong. Solomon says it best in Proverbs 30:20. An adulterous woman consumes a man, then wipes her mouth and says, "What's wrong with that?" That's how we live today. Moses knew he and the people were both stubborn and rebellious. He knew it. About to wrap up here. Verse 8, Exodus 34. Moses immediately threw himself to the ground and worshiped. And he said, "Oh Lord, if it is true that I have found favor with you, then please travel with us. Please go forward with us. Yes, this is a stubborn and rebellious people, but please forgive our iniquity, our sin. Our iniquity and our sin. Claim this as your own special possession." How did the Lord respond? He renewed the covenant he made with his people. Oh, our God is so good. Even when we mess up, even when we do dumb things, like worship a golden calf, we got our own things that we worship and do. God says, I want to renew my relationship with you. I know what you've been doing, and I know you're not going in the right direction. But if you want to start fresh today, if you want to start over today, let's do it. Verse 10, the Lord replied, "Listen, I'm making a covenant with you in the presence of all your people. I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in all the earth or in any nation. All the people around you will see the power of the Lord." You're going to see the Lord today, the awesome power that I will display for you. But listen carefully to everything I command you today. "Then I will go ahead of you. I'll go ahead of you and drive out the Amorites, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites." The Lord wants to renew his relationship with you. The Lord wants to renew his relationship with you. You know what the good news is? This relationship is not dependent upon our obedience. Why? And here's one of the main points of this whole series. Because this new covenant isn't a bilateral covenant. It's a unilateral covenant. Meaning, it's not dependent upon our obedience, but upon his son's obedience. And to that I respond, thank the Lord. Because I'm not obedient. You tell me to do something, I want to do the exact opposite of whatever you tell me to do. I know the good I ought to do, but I don't do it. Why? Because it's the sin that's living in me. I'm born with a sin nature. And I wrestle and I struggle with it every day. Where did it come from? Adam. It came from Adam. Last verse. Romans 5:18. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. Everyone's guilty. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Many will be made right with God if you put your faith in Jesus. So what does this mean? The closing statement here. What does this mean? I don't have to perform for God. You don't have to perform for God. He loves me just as I am. He loves you just as you are. Now, he doesn't want you to stay as you are if you're living in sin. Whether it's sins of omission or sins of commission, he wants you to turn from your sin. Proverbs 28:13, people who conceal their sins, try to hide their sins, will not prosper. They're not going to succeed. They're not going to move forward. God's not going to go with them. But if they confess and turn from their sin, they will receive mercy. I don't know what it is that you need to confess and turn from today. But each and every one of us has sin in our lives, whether it's sins of omission or sins of commission, that we need to say, Lord, I don't want to act like this or be like this. Please forgive me and help me. Because I want you to go with me and lead me and guide me in my life. I want to know you and understand your ways. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I've never asked Jesus to forgive me for my sins. We're going to give you that opportunity to start fresh, to start today. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I haven't been living like one. And I have some sin in my life that I've been excusing, rationalizing, justifying, pushing out, pushing down, and it's eating me up inside, and I need to turn from it today. Would you pray for me? Lastly, I want you to know that statement you said. Some of you, you need to say that statement every day this week. Let that sink deep into your heart and mind. I don't have to perform for God. He loves me just as I am. Because you've been so anxious and so performance